This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Shazana Mokhtar together with Philip C. It is Christmas Eve, Friday, yes, the 24th of December, 9:06 in the morning. But in the meantime, let's take a look at the activity on Bursa Malaysia.
It's flat like Coke without any bubbles.
Oh no, that's the worst kind of flat.
Yes, the FTSE Bursa Malaysia is flat, slightly down 0.09% at 1515.12.
So still above 1500?
Still above 1500, but you know, still a bit, it's been yo-yoing a bit green and red so far, but the rest of the markets across Asia are in green territory. The Straits Times is up 0.12% at 3100. Kospi also up 0.58% at 3015. Nikkei also up 0.06% to 2881.4. Now, just to bring your attention, looking at the cryptos, Bitcoin 50998.65 above the 50,000 mark. Ethereum also uptrend 4115.184. Now, if we shift over to the currencies, ringgit to US dollar 4.1988.
Uh-huh.
We're seeing some strengthening there. But across the other two currencies, pound and Sing dollar, we're seeing some weakness there. Ringgit to pound 5.629 Singgit, 7. Ringgit to Sing dollar 3.0922. Now looking over to the value board, really a smattering of small caps actually driving it. But of course, number one, Atta IMS at 0.72 cent unchanged, mm-hmm, followed by SM Track up 13% at 0.13, followed by Kejuratran Asas flat at 0.26.
Okay, so that is the snapshot of Bursa Malaysia at 9:09 this morning. We're taking a look now at how global markets closed yesterday.
Nespresso, bringing you the perfect blend of global market analysis and insights.
So if we look at the US markets, they closed in the green. The Dow was up 0.6%. The S&P 500 was up 0.6% as well. The Nasdaq was up 0.9%. So a lot of optimism going into the Christmas weekend. Joining us on the line for analysis on what's moving markets, we have Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence. Tony, good morning. Thanks for joining us today. Now, 2022 is just a week away, and given the triple headwinds of Fed taper, Omicron, and a China slowdown, will there be a difference in how developed and emerging markets in Asia are going to be impacted?
Yeah, I think with the tightening in the Fed and with what emerging markets are going to have to do, meaning in the near term, like China is going to have to loosen. So I think you'll have a strengthening dollar and more of a rush for capital into the U.S. So that should, at the margin, kind of help U.S. markets stay strong across debt and equity, other things. I think in emerging markets, it could eventually, China's loosening, the PBOC's loosening, could help demand in emerging markets, but it's going to be hard to get around the hard slowdown that started in China around Omicron.
I see. And so when you know, when you contrast that to the Fed tightening, right, you said China PBOC is adopting a looser monetary policy. How will this affect the yuan then in relation to those ASEAN currencies in which there's a lot of trade between these two countries?
Yeah, CNY has been strong for a protracted period, and it's made sense on one level. So China can import the energy and food particularly, and some raw materials that it needs, in a time of uncertainty. So the PBOC has kept it strong through this period. What we've expected for some time, and what we've shown, is that after Lunar New Year, we expect the PBOC to begin to weaken the CNY. We don't think it's going to be dramatic, but we think it's going to be a, you know, obviously evident change of policy. Chinese exporters, although, you know, they've been producing at not capacity, but they're been producing pretty okay. China's going to have to devalue the CNY to help those exporters regain their revenues that they've lost over the last 2 years. So we're in a strange period globally of moving from kind of state support back to market support, whether it's the US, Europe, Asia. We've really had state supportive industries, state supportive individuals. As we move beyond COVID, hopefully, we're moving more into a market orientation globally. And there will be some volatility with that.
Yeah, but I was wondering, you know, for China especially, I'm interested to know what the state of the Chinese consumer will be in 2022, because the government is worried for a slowdown, right? And wouldn't they want to expedite and, you know, give a bit more ammunition to the Chinese consumer?
They would, but the problem is, with Chinese real estate values declining, a lot of consumer debt is secured against real estate. And so the ability of Chinese consumers to expand the debt load that they're carrying is it's pretty delicate. I mean, it's a fine balance that they're going to have to run. So either the economic authorities in China push real estate markets up to allow Chinese consumers to keep debt with their real estate portfolios, or they, you know, make other consumer debt type of rules that allow Chinese consumers to hold more debt. So it's real estate is the part that's really tricky in this whole equation in China, because if real estate values are falling, the perceived wealth of those consumers is falling pretty rapidly as well. And the desire to consume excessively is just stamped out.
And I suppose still sticking to our view of China, looking at metal commodities, what metals have been affected by the slowdown of demand in China? And do you foresee a recovery for them in early 2022?
Yeah, we've seen industrial metals like copper and steel and those sorts of things really slow down dramatically compared to where they were earlier in 2021. We're seeing reports of, say, copper shortages at the warehouse level, at the official warehouses in China, but that's not real. What we're seeing, and I speak to copper producers in Australia and other places, what they're telling us is that those copper inventories are being shifted to unofficial warehouses to create a perception of shortage. So we may see we may see an uptick in, say, industrial metals prices in early 22, but we don't expect it to last long because the supply constraint is not real. So until demand picks up for manufacturing and goods consumption, and the other thing to remember is we've had a massive durable goods wave through COVID. Everyone's stocked up on durable goods. Okay, so there is almost no pent-up demand for durable goods, and this is the stuff that industrial metals go into. Okay, so on the demand side, there are some real problems. On the supply side, there seems to be plenty of supply in many cases. So we don't necessarily see the pressure upward, at least in Q1 of 2022, on industrial metals.
And that's where I'm quite interested, you know, where you say that this demand is, I think, slowly going to dissipate. Because, you know, yesterday, key U.S. inflation gauge saw its sharpest rise in nearly 40 years, right? Its personal consumption expenditure, you know, surged 5.7% in November. How long do you think this elevated level will last?
Well, U.S. consumers are pretty tapped out. So I think inflation happens for a couple of different reasons. Some people say it's only monetary. Not necessarily true. We've seen real supply constraints that contribute to inflation. We've seen demand pulls because of overstimulating economies. And those two things together have accelerated inflation. And so we have to remember at the same time in 2020, we saw prices of things go down pretty dramatically around mid-year, say a third of the way through the year to mid-year to just after mid-year. So some of these inflationary effects have been a little bit base effects because prices fell so hard in 2020. But we have seen consumption ticking up because of government stimulus. Now, we have to remember, if the Fed is tightening things like mortgage-backed securities, their purchases of mortgage-backed securities will slow, okay? So if people can't refinance their house or buy new houses, again, those wealth effects dissipate. If you have a home, if your home price is rising, whether it's the U.S. or China or elsewhere, the wealth perception is there and people have a propensity to spend. But if the Fed is pulling back on mortgage-backed securities, then you won't necessarily have that wealth effect that will dissipate. So government spending will decline marginally. Because Build Back Better didn't pass, we won't have that sugar rush of government spending flowing into the economy early in 22, although we may see something later. I believe, you know, governments love to spend money. So I believe the U.S. government will come with some massive package later in the year to bring government spending back up.
Tony, thanks very much for speaking to us. And an early Merry Christmas to you. That was Tony Nash, CEO of Complete Intelligence, giving us a quick take on what he sees moving markets in the final year, in the final weeks of 2021, looking ahead to 2022.
Nespresso starts your morning right together with the Morning Run, bringing you the perfect blend of global market insights with expert guests.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.